Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good morning. It's fabulous to see all your faces. It's hard to believe this is my first Sunday morning at church since March. Whew. Now, Thursdays have been a blessing since we started that up, but it's really good to see all your guys' faces this weekend. So we're glad you're here. I have one short announcement this morning before we get started, and that is not really for you guys in the room, but for our audience online. We have some drastic technical difficulties this morning. So we're streaming straight from an iPhone. So, yeah, it's going to be fun. I want to let you know if you're watching online, we're sorry. This is the best we could do for now. But we will have recorded and everything video later online. We just can't live stream right now. So with that being said, again, I'm glad you're here with us today. And I'm going to invite Gary Manford to come on up and prepare the room for us this morning.
Good morning, church. You know, as an educator for 47 years, there were a lot of classrooms that I would come into and my responsibility to prepare them, I guess you would say. But the last 20 years or so, I worked with adults. And also, not only did I work with adults, I worked with these things. So, you know, you could mute that or turn that off. I remember one time as I was sitting in a venue, I asked the folks to turn their phones off. And right down there was a gentleman whose hand went up. And he said, Mr. Manford, May I leave mine on? Well, of course, I wanted a little bit more info from him. He said, my wife's pregnant, and we're in our 9th month, and she may be getting ready to deliver, and I don't want to miss it, so may I leave my phone on? Well, I took a poll of the rest of the crowd, and everyone was okay with that gentleman leaving his phone on. Because if he'd had his phone off, he'd have been worrying, and I don't know if he would have heard a thing that I said. Well, getting with the preparing the room. As I came in, you may have noticed I was carrying this, and I noticed that some of you were carrying some things as well. But you were carrying them in your heart and in your head. Those things that you were worries and cares and things of that nature that just like that gentleman's cell phone can sometimes get in the way of our praising and sometimes get in the way of us hearing maybe just what God had brought us here to listen for. So, what I did today was I packed up all my cares and my troubles, and I put them in this bag. And for the next hour, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take those cares, set them right over here, those things that might pop up into my head. And since you don't have a bag and I don't want to come around and pick up all of yours in my bag, I'm going to pray. And as I'm praying, I want you all to take those things that might get in the way, those cares and those worries in your head and your heart, and I want you to just turn them over, maybe just drop them off your lap or however you want to do it, but just in some way to set those things aside so that you can, well, so that God can get our best effort in praising him, and then we can get exactly what he has for us today that might just change our lives or the lives of someone that we might meet this week. So, as I pray, I want you to set those things aside. God, I just want to thank you for this day, this opportunity to come and praise and worship you. And Father, what we're doing right now is we're setting aside all of those things that are going to get in the way of us praising you and hearing what you have for us. And God, we may pick them up in an hour or so. And when we do pick those things up and as we go out the door, God, I want you to go with us. And I want you to help us through all of those situations. So God, that's my prayer. We've laid them aside. We're getting ready to praise. And we're getting ready to learn. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's stand and let's worship together. When all I see is the battle.
When all I see is the battle, you see my victory. When all I see is a mountain, you see a mountain move. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you.
So when I fight
on my knees, with my hands lifted high, oh God, the battle belongs to you. And every fear I lay at your feet, and I'll sing through the night, oh. Battle belongs to you. And if you are for me, who can be against me? For Jesus, there's nothing impossible for you. Let's sing it out. You see the beauty. When all I see is a cross, God, you see the empty tomb. So when I fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high, oh God, the battle belongs to you. And every fear I lay at your feet, and I'll sing through the night, oh God, the battle belongs to you. In almighty fortress, you go before us, and nothing can stand against the power of our God. Shine in the shadow, you win every battle, and nothing can stand against the power of our God. Oh, almighty fortress, you go before us, and nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadow, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against them. Sing that again, almighty fortress. Oh, almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadow, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. High, oh God, the battle belongs to you. darkness tries to roll over my bones, and sorrow comes to steal the joy I own. When brokenness and pain is all I know, no, I won't be shaken, and I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Well, she no longer has a place to hide. I am not a captive to the lies. I'm not afraid to leave my past behind. No, I won't be shaken. I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. This power that can break off every chain, this power that can empty out and rain. Stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Sing it one more time. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. I'm standing in your love. I'm standing on the rock. Oh, I'm standing in your love.
Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come together this weekend. God, a weekend that we set aside for giving thanks. God, I'm just thankful for the people in the room, the people online. God, the joy that they bring me. God, I pray that we would be singing together this morning in one voice. God, that our praises would just fall on your ears, and that we would lay our burdens down, as Gary talked about, God. That we would lay them down and leave them. This moment, God, that we could worship you with our whole hearts, without all the baggage. May God give you everything.
From heaven you came running, there was mercy. to fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle. Stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe. For the souls of all who come to the Father are restored. And the church of Christ was born, then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth the Lord shall not kneel, shall not fade. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rick, for doing a little acoustic set for us this morning. You can hear some people. There you go. Yeah. Kind of heard the pitter-patter over there. So I hope you all had a great Thanksgiving over this past week. Before Grant dives into and really wraps up our series, Dumb Things That Smart Christians Believe, we wanted to take a minute just to kind of recognize and acknowledge that over this past series, and maybe even over this past season, really, as we've all trudged through this together, God has maybe been nudging you into a new step of obedience, into a new step of deepening your faith. Maybe that looks like trusting him in an area of service, getting connected with a mentor or a group. And so we wanted to highlight just a few of the ways that we as Western Hills Church have kind of given you some ways of taking that step. So first and foremost, if you just need to learn more about Western Hills or connect with a staff member or just a leader here at the church to know more about us, what we're about, flag one of us down, Grant, myself, any leader that you know here, and spark up a conversation. Ask us what Western Hills Church is about. Or if you're online, you can go to our website. You can find those links that provide that information in the Connect tab. Also, with the Connect tab, if that piece that God is nudging you towards is to connect with a Connect group in particular, reach out to us. We would love to connect you with one of our Connect group leaders as we move through the winter and into the new year. That can be a great way for you to continue deepening your faith and being a part of this community of the church. If the way that God is nudging you to respond is through generosity and giving, we have our connection kiosk in the back of this room. If you have either cash or a check or whatever, I'll call it analog way of paying. But again, if you're online, we have ways that we've set up that you can give online. And you can set that up to recur as well. You've also probably heard us say that God wants far more than just your money, right? If it was just money, that'd be easy. But really, God wants all of you, all of your time and your service. And so if God is nudging you to connect with a particular ministry here at Western Hills Church, whether it's kids ministry, Giant Slayer, student ministry, our missions team, tech team, worship team, just to name a few, there's opportunities for you to plug in and serve alongside fellow believers and to see how God can grow your faith through that. So again, reach out to us. Send us an email. Find us after service someplace. Don't leave here without taking advantage of those opportunities to take that next step of faith, whatever it is that God is leading you towards. So I hope you'll connect with us through those means, but let me pray for Grant as he prepares to unpack his word. Father, thank you for the way you've built this church and the church overall, as well as Western Hills Church, as this place that we can come to grow closer to you, to connect with you, but also to connect with others, to connect to your mission locally as well as globally. I just pray a blessing over everybody in this room, as well as those online with us, that whatever that step that God is nudging them in, that they would have the courage to follow suit and to act in obedience to God. And then finally, I just pray a blessing over Grant as he prepares to unpack your word and wrap up this series. I pray that where we need conviction, that you would convict us, but where we need encouragement and equipping, you would do that as well. Thank you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to be back in this room with you guys. Man. Yeah, we can clap for that. This is...
Yeah.
We have no idea if the people online can hear us anyway, so that's fine anyway. If you are joining us late here this morning, because you were late, you broke the internet. And so we were not able to do our normal multi-camera thing, but we've got Facebook Live, I think, going with one phone, and so you'll just get to enjoy it. There will be the full meal deal up later this afternoon because we can record, but for whatever reason, we can't go live. So I'm so glad Rick was here this morning because actually he wanted to do this morning because he knew I was going to talk about him this morning. And so now I have to kind of tone down some of my comments about Rick. Rick is one of the smartest people I know. You may not know this, but Rick has like this other gig that he does during the week. He's an engineer, and he puts together like power grid supply lines for like big corporations, I think small cities and small countries, okay? I mean, I just think I just think it's pretty impressive what he does. In fact, when we were redesigning this room and we were going to put new lights in here and new power supply, this was Rick's job. And so Rick came up with one of these bad boys. Now, I don't know if you can see this, but this is a blueprint, and every single light in this room has a specific address. And that specific address takes this mind-numbingly long journey in milliseconds all the way back to that booth to a control panel that is more difficult to run than the International Space Station, okay? And all of those lights can, I mean, it's crazy. Every single light has an individual control, multicolor. It's crazy. And he designed every single one of these things. And it needed to be this way, right? Because if you're talking about the complications about you know, electricity and multicolored lights, I mean, you know, like all these little lights, like they all have different colors. I mean, he designed all these things. And I mean, you got to have some specificity. Is that a good word? It is now. So I mean, you gotta have some specifics, right? And so Rick is really good at that. When I designed the room, I was like, "Hey, can we put some cool lights here, and you know, lights that change colors?" And they're like, "Grant, just step over to the side." And and so this is what we have now. But this brings up a question. The question is, does God have one of these for your life? That's the question. Right? And some of you, I can tell, because I'm reading your faces, you're very, very nervous. Good. This is how we wanted to end your Thanksgiving weekend, with full of stress and fear. Okay? Now, the question is, does God have a blueprint down to every single decision that you could ever possibly make for your life? That's the question that we're going to deal with this morning. And I'm just going to go ahead and tip my hand. And I don't think it's very shocking what I believe, because the title of this series is Dumb Things Smart Christians Believe. And I think this is a dumb thing that some smart Christians believe, that God has a detailed, every single decision that you can ever make blueprint for your life. Now, before you start throwing things, okay, before you start turning off Facebook Live, before you start leaving, give me a few minutes, just give me a couple of minutes to explain why I think this is a dumb thing, okay? Because I can already hear some of the arguments. Grant, as a matter of fact, I even wrote them down. Grant, you obviously haven't read the Bible, because the Bible says, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." Look, Grant, the Lord said this, and it was plans to prosper me, not harm me. How many of you have had this on, you've seen this on like a card, stationery, you've been to some reception? I have a full confession to make. Amy and I, when we were engaged and we were just about to get married, one of her friends, not my friends, one of her friends threw a shower for us, and on the napkins it said James and Grant, which was obvious they didn't know me. James and Amy. I wasn't going to marry myself. Holy cow. No, James and Amy, right? So they didn't know. And then this verse was on like some of the little things. "I know God has a plan." Oh, it's just so wonderful to get married. And so, no. This verse was written to the entire nation of Israel. It was not written to you personally. Okay? God was speaking to the entire nation. Now, if you want to ambush this verse for yourself, go right ahead. That's fine. Just know that that's not exactly the way the Lord intended it for this verse to be read. Okay? Now, let me deal with some other critiques, okay? But Grant, what about Noah? What about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Esau and Moses? Huh? What about that specific bush that God knew that Moses was going to walk by, that bush at that exact time? And God knew there's a specific blueprint for Moses. And I mean, and it's about to be Christmas, Grant. Jesus, Mary, Joseph, seems to be a little blueprint there, huh? Time out. I think this is actually a little bit better word. God loves me and has a wonderful plan for my life. How many of you have heard that? If you grew up at all in the 80s and 90s, you've heard this because this was the phrase from Billy Graham. And I actually think this is a deeper truth that I can get behind. Am I contradicting myself? Am I making sense? Grant, you just said you don't think God has a blueprint, but then you just said that you do think he has a wonderful plan for my life. What, are you too much turkey, too much thinking? What's going on? Let me see if I can explain myself, okay? I remember dating Amy. We had entered that two and a half year phase of dating, which I call the danger zone. You know what I'm talking about, right? You know. This is when we call it the fish or cut bait phase of dating. You know what I'm talking about now? When the M word starts getting thrown out there. We've been dating 2.5 years, about to graduate from college. Clock's ticking, right? I mean, it's like all these, are you gonna marry her, or are you just right? What's the deal? And I remember thinking through this, and I loved her. I loved her as deep as I possibly could, which looking back on it now and seeing how shallow I was the deepest I could get, right? I mean, that's just where I was. Okay? And so and I remember going, is she the one? Is she the one? What if she's not the one? What if while I'm dating her, the one walks by and I miss my one? And if she's not the one and I marry her, then I've basically messed up the entire marriage dice, the marriage bracket, if you will, for the whole of Texas and probably the rest of the United States of America, because I took someone else's one, which threw everybody off. I'm the only one who's ever thought these things. Looks like we're having lunch together. Alone. Okay. Because this is the mentality. This is what a blueprint mentality puts you in, right? You begin to analyze every single decision as if I make this one wrong decision, then I have thrown off God's plan for my life, and I might as well just throw the whole thing. I just might as well quit. Let me take a survey. From a scale of 1 to 5, you're going to use your high-tech voting, your left hand, okay? You're going to put up a number 1 to 5. 1 means this is very easy. 5 means this is incredibly difficult. This is the question. The question is, how hard is it for you to discern the will of God? 1 is, it's really super easy. I don't even know why I'm here this morning. This is the dumbest message I've ever heard in my life. 2, 5 being, I might as well read Elvish. I have a better chance understanding that than understanding the will of God. Okay, how hard is it for you to discern the will of God? 1 to 3, raise your hand right now. Go. Don't look around, just raise your hand. Okay. 3, 3, 3, 2, 2, 3, 3, 3, 2, 2, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 4, 4, 4, 4, 4, 4, 4, 2, 2, 5. I see that 5, 5. I see that 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 4, 4, 4, 4, 4, 5, 5, 2, 2, 2, 3, 3, 3. This side of the room really needs help. 4, 4, 4, 4, 5, 5, 5, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3. 4.76, I'm guessing, is around the average there. Amy, is that right? You're a math teacher?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. All right, so we got about a 4.5. We'll go there. Okay, here's the next question. 1 to 5, same thing. Easy, hard. How much pressure do you feel trying to figure out God's will? 1 is no pressure, 5 is a lot of pressure. How much pressure do you feel? Raise those hands up, let me see it. Okay, we got 1, 1, 5, 5, 5, woo, 4, high numbers, 2, 4, 4, 4, 4, 4, 3, 4, 3, 4, 3, 5, 4, 2, 2, 3, 5, 4, 2. You're not voting? Fine. 5, 5, 2, 2, 3, 3, 4, 4, 4, 4, 4, 4, 4, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2. 1, like it. Okay, 2, 2, 1, 1, 3, 1, 1, 3, 3, 3, 3, 2, 2, 2. Average is 3.2. Okay, so 3.2. Here's the next question. How much fear do you have of making the wrong decision? 1, you have no fear. 5, you have a lot of fear. A lot of fear. How much fear? Get those hands up one more time. This is the last question, I promise. 4, 2, 4. No vote, you get a 5. No vote, you get a 5. 1, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 4, 5. 4, 5? What is this? 4, 4, 4. Okay. 4, 4, 2, 2, 2, 2. That's a good row back there. 2, 2, 2, 2, 5, and 4. You guys are perfect for each other. 1, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2. Lots of twos. This is good. 3, 2, 2. Bring it down the average. Okay, the average is going back up. 5, 4, 4, 4, 5, 2, 2, 2, 1, and a what? A 2. You guys are perfect for each other. Okay. 5, 1, 5. I can't see it, but I'm sure it's a 4, 4, 4, 4, 4, 4, 3, 3, 2, 2, 2. Okay, so average is about 2.5. Okay, now. What does this mean, Grant? I don't know. It was just kind of fun. No, what it means is that if you have a blueprint mentality on the will of God, it seems to create a lot of fear, a lot of stress, and a lot of confusion. And when we look at Scripture and we hear the words of Jesus about the character of our Father, we hear him say things like this. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Here's a bottom line truth you need to know about God. He desires to give you good gifts. Okay, let me say that again because I'm not sure, right? He wants to do this for you. He's not holding out on you going, man, I've got a really good thing for them and I'm just going to make it really, really hard for him to find it. He doesn't function that way. He does not function that way. Jesus also said this. He says, listen, and this, let me just be honest, okay, which I'm all the time anyway, but this verse disturbs me sometimes. Because sometimes my experience of following Jesus isn't always this. And that is, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, whoo, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and lean. I don't know what was I typing? I take my yoke upon you and lean. That's not what that says. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We have this truth in Scripture that speaks to the character of God, that he wants to give you good gifts, and he is not out to make your life miserable. He's not. That is the truth of the character of God. Okay, Grant, great, I believe you. But I've even heard you say that there have been tough times and there have been hard times to discern what it is God wants you to do. Yes. So where's the disconnect, right? You're just speaking here and I'm really still having a hard time. Here's what I think, okay? And again, I've got pretty good sources, okay? But here's what I think, and I want us to go to Romans chapter 12 this morning because I think this passage of Scripture is going to give us a plan, not a blueprint, a plan. Not specific where everything is mapped out, but a plan. These are the goals and the principles that we're going to try to accomplish. I think this gives us a plan on understanding how to know and discern God's will for your life. And it's not a blueprint. And this is what it says, Romans chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Now, I'm going to stop right here and just say this, that so many times this little verse right here, this little part right here, this is your true and proper worship, this little part right here, so many times, and you've probably heard messages this way, or if you haven't, you will one day, this is what worship means, right? Have you ever heard that? This is what worship, it's not singing, it's not songs, it's not, no, worship is what we do with our lives, right? But there's something deeper going on here, because Paul doesn't stop the teaching at this point. He keeps going. He says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. And I'm going to circle some words here. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve. Oh, look at this. You'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, hey, we saw that in Matthew, his pleasing and perfect will. There's three huge principles here that kind of do away with the blueprint mentality and talk about something different, a plan mentality. And I want to put these up here so that you see it. How to know God's will, it's three things. If you'll notice, it starts with, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to offer your bodies, right? The love God first. If I was going to put one word up there to talk about how to know the will of God, it starts with obedience. It starts with obedience. And obedience leads to transformation. And then transformation leads to insight. Obedience to transformation. Transformation leads to insight. This is the order, or this is the way, right? I mean, it's an incredible episode this week, wasn't it? Oh, anyway, okay. So this is the pattern. This is the way God works. I'm going to talk about this. God has never given insight before there is obedience. He doesn't give insight to disobedient children. He doesn't. All right? Because why would God trust us with insight when we haven't been obedient with what he has already given us? Oh, this just went from a really funny message to not so funny. Right? I have yet to meet a person that has come into my office and go, you know, I really don't want to marry the right person. I really want to marry someone that's going to ruin my life. I've never had that happen. Shocking, right? I mean, every single person I've ever talked to wants to have a great marriage. They want to be great parents. They want to raise great kids. And yet, I am astounded by how few people have good, godly dating relationships. Singles, I'm going to upset you right now. Do not expect to have a godly great marriage if you don't have a godly great dating relationship. Don't. Because God's not going to give you insight until you begin to obey. And once you begin to obey, he's going to transform. He's going to change your heart. This is how God works. Married folk. Oh, we're not getting off the hook either. It's a good thing Greg made fun of those single people. Yeah, well, yeah, it's everybody's getting offended this morning. Yeah, don't expect your kids to exceed your compassion or exceed your devotion to Christ. Don't. They are not going to hear a single word you say because the actions are drowning it out. So if you don't make devotion to Christ, if you don't make quiet times, if you don't make hard decisions in terms of your finances and whose money is it, if you haven't made some decisions on your own personal relationship with Jesus and letting Jesus get the last word in your life, don't you dare expect your kids to get it. You haven't been obedient with what you know you should do. God's not going to give you insight on how to raise those kids better. He's looking at you going, why don't you get your act together first? Obedience precedes transformation. I'll wait till God changed me and I want to obey. It doesn't work that way. Obey, your heart will catch up. And once your heart catches up, you'll be astounded at some of the hard decisions you'll be able to discern and navigate, because God will give you insight into things that you never even knew that you could have. Fourth thing I want to say. I think God's more concerned about our character than he is our calendar. Blueprint mentality gets you in this mindset of, okay, I got to have this. It's a schedule, right? If I make this decision, then I got to go here, and then this, and this. I got to get the schedule. I'm not 30 yet, and I'm not married yet. Oh, my gosh, my life is over, right? It's like you got these crazy ideas that enter your head, or I've got to make this decision for it. No, relax. God's more concerned about your character than he is your calendar on what you think you need to accomplish in your life. And this is true all throughout. All those names that we dropped, Noah, Abraham, Moses, do you know how much time God took with them? Don't miss that in their stories. Don't miss that it took 80 years for Abraham to get to a point where God says, okay, now you're ready to be a dad. You had some things in your character, Abraham, that we had to work on, and I didn't know how long it was going to take. It took 80 years. Okay, now you're ready. And he wasn't looking for Abraham to be perfect, but he was looking for Abraham to be yielded. And the same is true of Moses. God does not have a blueprint for your life. He is inviting you into a relationship with him, a partnership with him, if you will, where as you obey, he's going to change you to look more like Jesus, and then together you're going to go change the world. That's what God is inviting us to be a part of. So he's infinitely more concerned about your character and making sure that you look a lot more like Jesus than you get your lifetime accomplishments checked off your list. We were living in Little Rock. It was really painful time in my life. Just a horrible time in my life. Was thinking about getting out of the ministry, which now I look back on, I go, man, you dolt. Why would I want it, right? But that's where I was at. That's where I was at. And I had a job offer to do this. I had another job offer to do this. I had this church here, and I knew I didn't want to stay in Little Rock. And, you know, I just had all these. And so I took one of my good friends to lunch, and I just probably babbled for forever. And I was like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what. I got this. And he was really patient with me up to a point. And then finally he said, what's your question, Grant? I said, I want to know exactly what it is God wants me to do. And he goes, perfect. Great. And I don't think you heard me. Like, I'm wrestling with, man, I got my whole family. This is a big decision, man. This is a huge decision. And you're just like, he says, Grant, I don't think it really matters what job you take. In fact, and he said this, and I fell out in the restaurant. He says, in fact, I don't think God cares as much about it as you do. And I was like, whoa, I'm the professional pastor here. I'll be the one to talk for God. By the way, that's not true. And he goes, Grant, I want you to look at Psalm 37. I know Psalm 37. I've read Psalm 37 a million times. Open up your Bibles and read Psalm 37. Yes, sir. Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Love this verse. Memorize that one. Woo, put that one on the fridge. 37:23. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. He says to me, Grant, I think there are times when God absolutely knows and absolutely has a next step that he wants us to take. I do. And I think with your heart, Grant, I know you're trying to delight yourself in the Lord. I think you're trying to do what God wants you to do. Are you trying to be obedient in the things that you know? Yes, I am. Are you trying to do this? Yes, I am. I really am. He says, God's not going to let you take a wrong step. He's going to send multiple confirmations when he has a step, the steps of a man are established. He's going to establish your steps because you have chosen to delight yourself in the Lord. And he is not going to let you miss this. So if you've got a hesitancy, listen to that hesitancy, because I can see in your life, you're delighting yourself in the Lord. You're taking care of the things that are clear in your life. So listen. God's going to send multiple. He's a good father. He has good gifts. He's not going to let you miss it if there is a step that he wants you to take. He says, but I also think this, Grant. He says, and I think this is where you're struggling. He says, I also think this. I think there are times when we are delighting ourselves in the Lord, we're trusting him, we're being obedient. And I think there are times where he puts decisions in front of us and goes, pick. I can accomplish my plan. I can accomplish what I need to do regardless which decision that you make because you have chosen to delight yourself in the Lord. And that's the key. That's the key. And I go, okay, theologically, intellectually, I get that. I'm with you. Which one is this decision? And he goes, yeah. Good question. Whoo, look at the time, right? And it's like, what? He goes, Grant, go back to that first part. Look what's common between these verses. Look what's common between that Romans 12 verse, right? Offer yourself, your bodies as a living sacrifice, right? Delight yourself in the Lord. When you obey and delight yourself in the Lord, he begins to transform you. And over time, that transformation changes our hearts to look a lot like Jesus' hearts. We begin to recognize his voice. It's like the kid that can recognize what's going on with mom and dad the minute they open their mouth. Why? Because they know the voice. And sometimes that's not good. But sometimes it's very good, right? And then once that happens, you get insight and you've got a good father. So relax, pray, trust God. Sometimes folks get a little disturbed when they think that God doesn't have a blueprint because they believe that it compromises the sovereignty of God. And I've always kind of chuckled at that thought because I think what proves the sovereignty of God is the cross. You see, the cross is where humanity basically messes up the whole plan. The cross is where humanity throws the worst of itself at the Father, rejects the Father, rejects the Creator. The cross is where the world and humanity is at its worst. And it's exactly where Jesus is at his best. And he can redeem any hot dumpster fire that we can come up with. He can redeem it. He does redeem it. And that proves his sovereignty. Not that he's got a plan and we got to follow it. No, his sovereignty is he meets us in the middle of our mess. He calls us to a relationship. And he says, we can start this transformation process right here, right where you are. That is good news. And that puts us as Christ followers who are really, really trying to please Jesus, who are really, really trying to follow him. That puts us in a place to where we go, oh, and maybe that's what Jesus meant back in Matthew 11 about the yoke being easy and the burden being light. If you're walking through hard decisions, let me just go back to the basics. Start obeying what you know. Allow Christ to transform your heart, and then wait on that insight. Delight yourself in the Lord, and then he will give you the desires of your heart, or he will direct your steps. Let me pray for us this morning. Father, first of all, thank you. Thank you that the pressure is off, that you are a good father, that you desire to bless us, that you desire to give us good gifts, that you don't want us to miss the plans that you have. But those plans are centered around you changing us, transforming our character, using us right where we are in the places where we are for your glory and for your mission. So, Father, continue to teach me what it means to live in obedience. Father, continue to shape my heart so that it is yielded to you. And after we do that together, after I obey, after I allow you to begin to shape, and I begin to give you the last word, I begin to put you in the center of life, then those insights, that ability to test and discern and to know your good, pleasing, perfect will. Father, thank you for these truths that have taken the pressure off of some of these things that maybe we've believed that were really pretty harmful, that were pretty devastating maybe to our walks. And like Gary kind of mentioned this morning about the baggage, maybe some of these beliefs are some of the baggage that we get to just lay on the side and we get to just totally take off and go, man, whoo, I am redeemed and freed from that mess. Father, we love you. Father, we so desperately need you. Father, forgive us when we put our agenda in front of yours. Forgive us when we demand insight before we've obeyed. Continue to make us the people that you want us to be. And it's in your name that I pray. Amen. Amen.
Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. And holy, there is no one like. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you.
Thanks again for joining us today. And let's go be a church that doesn't worry about a blueprint for our life, but one that builds our lives on His love and His truth. Let's go be the church. Have a great week.